It's good to be here with you today worshiping our Lord. We've moved the reception of new members into the church until after the offertory. So we're still having that. We have a number of people who will be uniting with the church today. We invite anyone who feels led to join them, to come up, to renew your baptismal vows and unite with the church. So we invite anyone to be in prayer about that until we come to that point in the service. We have a very special moment now, and I would like to call on Morgan. Morgan is going to introduce her teacher, who will be sharing his testimony with us today. Remember, this is Laity Month. Morgan came to me and said, "I heard a great testimony and from my teacher, and I would like him to share it with our church." So it's worked out that because of this young person's inspiration, we have this witness today, and she's going to introduce him.
Hi, I'm Morgan, and I would like y'all to meet my fourth grade teacher, Mr. Herr. He shared his testimony with my class, and I thought it was very touching, and I wanted him to share it with you. So would you please welcome Mr. Herr.
Good morning. It's quite a pleasure to have the opportunity to share with you today. I'm glad it's Laity Month because I'm not especially gifted at this sort of thing. In fact, I'm quite nervous. But the Lord has given a great story for me to tell, and so I give it at every opportunity that I get. Just want to give you a little bit of background in my life, and I want you to know that I'm not a stranger to church. I grew up going to church, but it was on the church bus. My parents wouldn't go to church, but they would send us kids on the church bus on Sunday mornings, I think, for a free couple hours away from us. And so I would go to church, and I'd heard the gospel numerous times in my life, up through my childhood years. And I never took it personally because, in my view, I thought, well, if my parents aren't here and they don't necessarily need Jesus, then why do I? And so I grew up believing there was a God and believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and generally, but I never personalized it and took it, accepted him as my Savior. Well, you know, grew up, went to high school, got off on the wrong foot, you know, as a young man might do in the military, and started serving myself instead of anybody else. And really started having a pretty good job and having a pretty good career in the Air Force. And started my family. I married my high school sweetheart. Still married today after 22 years. And thought I was living a pretty good life, really. I was a pretty good husband, pretty good father, pretty good GI. And my thinking about God through those years was, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. And certainly God wouldn't judge me because of me not just taking that step of accepting that his son paid for my sins on the cross. And I was pretty well content in that. Well, we moved around a lot, you know, as military folks do, and we ended up in San Antonio, Texas. And my daughter was coming to be a teenager at that time, and she started going to middle school there in San Antonio, and we really liked it there, but there's a pretty bad gang problem in San Antonio, and we were concerned about that. And one day I got a call at work from the principal of the school and said, "Your daughter got in trouble today at school, and she's going to be suspended for 3 days." And I'm sorry. Morgan will tell you that I cry a little bit when I talk about the Lord and what he's been doing in my life. But I guess I realized that I wasn't quite as good a father as I thought I was. That maybe I did a little bit something wrong, and I wasn't giving her the background I knew that she really needed. in going to church. And so I told my wife, we need to get our kids into church. So we started going to church there in San Antonio, and not even a month after we started going to church, we found out that my wife's mother had cancer here back in Fayetteville, and that she was terminal. They didn't expect her to live about 6 more months. And so we got reassigned back here so my wife could be with her mother. And praise the Lord, my mother-in-law is still alive today. She's been in remission for about 7 years now. So when we moved back home here, we decided to keep on going to church, and had us a little home built up there in Harnett County, and started going to Liberty Baptist Church with our children. And the kids really enjoyed it there. You know, lots of good youth programs, the Awana program, and just really involved there. And finally it came to where they would go without me going. And I thought that was great, because I could put them on the church bus, let them go to church, and I could stay home on Sunday mornings and have my Sunday mornings to myself or with my wife. And so that went on for about a year or so. And one day, my daughter came home from church. She was really excited and said, "Daddy, I accepted Christ today." Well, you know, I knew what that meant. I knew what she was talking about. And I was really struggling myself with whether I really believed that there was a God. See, I had started going back to school to get a degree, and, you know, looking toward my retirement years, and thought, well, you know, I need to get prepared for that. So I was going to school to get my bachelor's degree. And, you know, in college, you know, the liberal teaching you get there in some schools, and, you know, just the idea that we've evolved from a single cell organism up to what we are today. And what I struggled with was I didn't believe that that could be true and God was true. I couldn't believe that there was a creation and that we evolved. I just didn't seem that the two went together. And so I was struggling with what I grew up with, that there's a God and I was created, and this seemingly scientific knowledge that we've evolved over billions of years. And this was all about the same time, the way the Lord was working in my children's life. And one day at lunch, I happened to go to lunch with just one buddy of mine from work, and I knew he was a believer, he was a Christian, and he never was pushy about his faith, but we all knew where he stood, and we respected him for that. So when we went to lunch that day, I just told him, you know, what I was thinking and what I was feeling about, I'm having troubles in this area. And he said, "Ken, what you need to do is just take a good look around you. Take a good look at the sky, in the grass, in the trees, in the animals, and look at yourself and see if you think that that could possibly have happened just by pure chance." And that day I walked back to the office from lunch and really did that. I mean, I was looking at pine needles and the bark on the trees. And I looked at the grass and the way it's made. And it struck me that this can't have just happened. It's not possible. Have you ever looked at a pine needle? I mean, really looked at one, and how it's put together and twisted on an end, and it's the way it's attached to the tree, and the veins come out of it, and it's feeding the tree through the chloroform, and it's an amazing process. And I said, surely this didn't happen by accident. It couldn't have. And so almost in an instant, I realized that there is a God. And I was certain of that. And what I was also certain of is that I wasn't right with him. And it so happened that the next Saturday, just a couple of days later, the church bus came by to visit the house. They did that routinely and would see if the kids were going to ride on Sunday morning. Usually I was pretty good at avoiding them and letting my kids answer the door when they came, because I didn't want to have to face them. But that day, I was the one that answered the door. And when I saw the guy, I said, "You know, I appreciate what you're doing with my children. You're doing a great job with them. They love going to church and they love the Lord, and I owe that to you guys for doing this for me. And he accepted my, you know, just thanks, and he said, you know, and what we'd really like is for you to come to church and be a part of us there. And so I told him that I would go to church the next morning. My wife is a nurse, and she works out at Cape Fear Valley, and, you know, she has to work every other Sunday or so. And usually if my wife had to work, that was a good reason for me not to go to church. And so, but she had to work that day, but I went anyway because, you know, I've always been a man of my word. If that's one thing my father taught me, if you say you're going to do something, you need to do it. And so I went to church that morning, and when I walked in, my daughter was sitting in a pew and had all of her friends lined up down there beside her and had me a seat saved right on the end. She was so excited that I went to church with her that day. And the pastor had Lord's Supper that day, the communion, and I knew rules about the communion. You know, like I said, I went to church. I knew about those things, and I knew that as a non-believer, I shouldn't take that. And I knew that my daughter sitting right here next to me was going to take it because she told me that she accepted Christ. And so in my own mind, I was thinking, oh no. If I take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to sin against God, and I don't know what He'll do to me for that. And on the other hand, I got my daughter sitting right here next to me. If I don't take the Lord's Supper, she knows where I stand with God. And so I was dealing with that in my own mind and thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? And I wasn't really praying to the Lord because I didn't know Him, but I was just trying to figure out how I was going to handle that situation. Well, I decided the right thing to do would be not to take the Lord's Supper and then just have to face my daughter and try to discuss that with her about where I stood. And so as the plate of the bread passed by, I chose not to take it, and I passed the plate onto my daughter. And when I did that, our eyes met, and I could see the fear in her eyes for me, because she knew then where I stood, and she was afraid for me. I could see that on her face. So that morning during communion, I asked the Lord to forgive me. And I accepted Him in the pew that morning. And I remember, you know, I grew up going to a Baptist church. And in a Baptist church, you know, they have the big invitational at the end of the service, and you have to go for it and all those sorts of things. And they didn't have an invitation that morning. And on the way home from church, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they didn't have an invitation. I didn't have an opportunity to go for it. Now, if I have a wreck on the way home, I'm going to die and go to hell anyway. What I found out is that God's grace is sufficient to save me in my sin right there in the pew. Wherever it was that I accepted Him, that was the moment. Thank the Lord for that. It didn't take me long to figure out that serving the Lord was a blessing. I jumped in with both feet, and then almost immediately I was driving the church bus. Because that's a ministry that really reached me. And on the very first day, I was working out on the church bus. I didn't have my license yet to drive the bus, so I was just working and knocking on doors and getting kids to come to church. And that first morning, there was this little girl, about 5 years old, just old enough to ride. She just took an immediate latching on to me. I don't know why. I was just listening to her stories and letting her know that I loved her. And when she got off the bus, she went on to her Sunday school class, where there was another new child on the bus that had never ridden before, and they needed to be shown where to go. So I took the little boy by the hand and took him on to class. When I walked into the class with the little boy, that little girl was already in there, and she saw me. She jumped up and said, "Mr. Ken," ran over to me and hugged my leg. I told the Lord, "Boy, if this is what serving you is like, I want to do it full time." So I started asking Him, you know, "Lord, I'm fixing to retire from the Air Force. I've only got a couple of years left, and I'd like to get prepared to serve you. Whatever you want me to do for you, I'll do it." And I prayed that for 2 or 3 months, daily, several times a day, just asking the Lord, what is it you will have me to do? Finally, one night, laying in bed, I was praying it, and I said, Lord, whatever you tell me, whatever you say, I will do it. If you want me to be evangelist and run around the country preaching the gospel, I'll do that. If you want me to preach, I'll do that. If you want me to clean the toilets in the church, I'll do that. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And I heard,
teach.
And I thought, well, that couldn't be it. So, got up the next morning, driving to work, praying again. Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said,
teach.
I said, yes, sir. And that morning, instead of going straight to work, I went to the education office and said, I need to learn how to be a teacher. I need to sign up for some classes. I went to school for about 4 years at night and retired, used my GI Bill for a couple more years and got a license to teach. And now I've got the best job I've ever had in my whole life. Every day I get to be around 60 kids that love me. What a blessing it is. And it's only because the Lord's grace saved me from the trouble I was in. Thank you.
And Morgan, I want to thank you because your being inspired gave us an opportunity to be inspired by this testimony. And I just praise God for Ken. He's teaching over here at Village School. And that's a wonderful blessing to know the kind of teacher we have there.